Chas HaChaim actually mentions that why Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest in Limud HaTorah. Why was he the greatest in Limud HaTorah? Because he was the biggest Olav. Because Shteva Ish Moshe Olav Mikol Adam. And this, but the Bala Torah is teaching us that the lower a person brings himself down to, is the more Torah is going to be Mekabel. Is actually the Shulchan Aruch, at the time of the Shulchan Aruch, there were three potential candidates that were Roy, that were fitting to write the Shulchan Aruch. It was the Rabbi Yosef Karoy, the Bala Shulchan Aruch. There was two other people which were Roy to make the Shulchan Aruch, and this is the Chidor writes this very clearly, and he says the reason why Rabbi Yosef Karoy was Zoicha to write the Shulchan Aruch is because Machmas Anvus Sunusai, because of his Anivus, he was Zoicha to write the Shulchan Aruch. That's an interesting remez that you see in the Orem. The Orem has got the Torah in to reflect on that point. Just one final point, if I may. The Chasam Sofer has got a beautiful kasha, just before we get to Halacha Maizah, beautiful kasha on the Parsha Shkolim, because it says Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand, what Shkolim was, and Hashem had to show him a coin, a fire coin, Mitachas Kisei HaKovei. Can you imagine? For the Chasam Sofer, the last thing Moshe Rabbeinu, anyone needs to know, is about money. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what a shekel is. He had to have Hashem showing him a Matzbeah Shal Eish. What was going on? What's pshat in that? Chasam Sofer says, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand, how is it that we are limited, we are capped in b'mekayim the mitzvah of Shkolim, donating to the Mishkan was limited. Ha'oshe lo yarbe, you couldn't give more. Imagine you came with the shekel to the machas, and they give you change. They say, so you say, no, it's fine. You couldn't say it's fine. You had to take it back. You couldn't have a zechus more than half a shekel. Why not? Yeah, so Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand that. So Hashem showed him a matbea shel eish. Yes, it's limited to only a matbea, but it's the way you do a mitzvah. Eish is a resemblance of islavus, of how a person does a mitzvah, the way a person does a mitzvah. So Chasam Sofer is saying that Hashem is showing Moshe Rabbeinu that yes, you can be capped to only half a shekel, but it's the way you perform a mitzvah. Matbea shel eish is the eish is showing how a person does the mitzvah. That's exactly what Hashem was showing Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's get straight into the halachas, b'negiah to time switches. Again, you'll see in a lot of Heintiger Sfarim that they don't like discussing time switches because it is so close. If a person slips up on the halachas, it's so close to be over an Isadoi Raisa. So you will find in some Heintigers saying, B'chol oifen, yesh las is shedes chochem. You'll see in Ocha Shabbos writes that, Rebbe Falk writes that. But the Maisa, I think it gives us an idea what's going on, at least to know whether to what to ask and how to ask. But this is Be'erach what goes on, and this is coming from Shmuel Shabbos Kol Chosay, which is Marech about these in Yonim. As we discussed yesterday, that if, let's say, my timer is, let's say, connected to a heater, and the heater, throughout the night, I want it off. Let's say in the night time you don't want the heater on, so you want it to go off at 11 o'clock tonight. Now you realize that you want it to go off a bit later. You want it to stay until 12 o'clock. So you want to push in 4 buttons, right, that it should stay on another hour. Now it's 9 o'clock, right, you've still got another hour and 2 hours for it to be on. You want to push it to go off another hour. Is there any issue with doing that on Shabbos? Now some people can say you can't touch time switches. That's a disclaimer altogether that Chaznish and Ramesha didn't hold up. Ramesha held as a bizoyan, is a over the chol, you can't touch it. But all these cases are mokum tzorech, where a person didn't think about it before Shabbos. You have Matzavim, which is a Tzorech, you have Orechim, all these sorts of Shailas, then we need to be more sensitive to it, so we need to know the Ikar Halacha. Pushing the timer forward, meaning allowing the timer to stay on a bit longer, keeping the current situation, according to the Ikar Halacha, is okay. You can press 4 of the buttons to stay another hour, because all you're doing is knocking out a disturbance. Right? As we said yesterday, the Moshe was, a Goy comes in, he's about to switch off the lights, and I shove him out of the room. He comes back another quarter of an hour later, and I shove him out of the room. If I do that, have I been over an Issa because now the lights are staying on another quarter of an hour? Have I been over any Issurim? No, because I have left the lights staying where they are. I've just got rid of someone that's going to come and disturb, interfere with the lights. I've got rid of them. That's not the same as someone who's Moisef Shemen. Someone, you got a light, and then a person pours oil into the cup. That's a real Issa. That's Chayev. Over here, the reason why you're keeping the current situation is not a problem, is because this little piece, right, each of these little pieces is going to potentially come and interfere to the situation. Therefore, I'm allowed to prolong the current situation. There's no issa of prolonging the current situation. That's very, very nice. Now, let's say it's absolutely boiling, and it's boiling hot in my dining room. I want this machine off. Okay, so now, imagine it's 8 o'clock at night, you're coming home, middle of the meal, it's so hot, okay, you can open the window. But let's say you want to get rid of the, you don't want the heater on. It's only going to go off 11 o'clock. You need that, you want the heater off, you want it to go off as soon as possible, 9 o'clock. So when you pick them up, these pieces up, and you're going to make it go off earlier, what's the issa to make a heater going off earlier? You tell me. What's this? It's going to go off at 11, and now it's going off at 9. What are you doing? Now you're interfering in a positive way by bringing something on and making it go off earlier. So that is something called groma. And a groma, you're goyrim, something to turn off, which it wouldn't have happened. Right? So that is something which is a groma, is only mutter. The Gemara says groma is mutter meikadin, but it's the Ramah says it's only mutter b'mokum hefzed, or makam mitzvah, or makam choydi. So if let's say there's a person who's a choyla, even she'im b'sakona, that's not called hefzed, that's the groal, kechos alaneh, the famous groal we mentioned, kechos alaneh, you know we say in the Mishnah, in Bama Madikin, kechos alaneh, kechos alashemen, has the Mishnah got it wrong? Why can you just say, hachos alaneh, what's kechos? Yeah, so the Gaon says a beautiful pshat, hachos alaneh, is kechos. He thinks that he's saving. But the Mishnah is saying that if a person has pity on the nair, he wants to blow it out. So the Mishnah says that he's potter aval osa, yeah? So what's kechos? The Gaon says kechos is he thinks that he's trying to gain by blowing it out. He's gonna it's gonna save more money. He's gonna be better off. No. If you're spending for Shabbos, anything you spend for Shabbos, you're not gonna lose anyway. So it's kechos. It's someone like he thinks he's having pity. He's not really gonna gain anything. That's the Gaon. Okay, so let's say you want the machine to go off now, you don't want it to go in 10 minutes, you don't want it to stay on for another 2 hours. That's called groma. Groma me'ikadin is muta, b'mokum choyli. So really, if a person had a choyla and it's l'tzorich a choyla, he can even bring in the timer earlier and switch things on earlier, b'mokum choyli. That's quite dangerous, so you can see. We're not gonna. Yeah, the Mechasisel's got sure about that. Only by cold do we say that. But not regarding the heat. So again, so to prolong the current situation is okay. Meikadin again, if a person didn't set it up properly, but to bring in the time earlier is also because it's groma, and groma is only mutter b'mokum hefsed b'mokum choyli. Oh, so to turn it off now, that's definitely an issa, because that's downright issa. But where you bring it in an hour earlier, and then it's going to go off in 10, 15 minutes, half an hour, instead of going on an hour and a half, that would only be an issa groma, which groma is offsa. But groma is mutter if it's mokum choyli, or mokum hefsed, mokum mitzvah, those things are okay. That's when it gets to those things, the time switch. Now, let me ask you, what happens if you've got the time switch inside, and inside the time switch you've got a hot plate. So the hot plate served your purpose Friday night, and then you realize that there's no reason to have the hot plate on. It's 11 o'clock at night, you're done and dusted, all the food is fine, you realize you're not even having the kugel tomorrow morning, you don't need the hot plate on. It goes off 11 o'clock, it's destined to go on again 8 o'clock in the morning through the whole day. You think, what do you need this for? What do you need the hot plate on the whole day? It might be a sakona, it's misukun. While it's off, can you pull out the plug of the hot plate, and thereby, when it goes on again at 8 o'clock in the morning, nothing will go on. Yes, it might be active, but there's nothing going on. What do you say to that, Shabbos? What do you say to that? Okay, to switch it off, Legamri, then you're closing your circuit. You mean as it is now? So, you can clear the same channel. You mean, so Ruby was mentioning, leave the plug where it is, and just switch it on. Yeah, but how's it going to work? The only option is to keep it out. Oh, so now, very good. So you could really keep all the, just push all the buttons down. Right, but I hope that it'll happen. What we're talking about here, we're not talking about the ideal case. The ideal case is not to touch anything, like the Chazanish and like Ramosha. Ramosha didn't really allow doing anything. But because Me'ikadin, you can do these things. So where there's a Mokum where it's unsafe, all these sorts of things. We're not talking about an ideal situation. The Marshal, someone told me that a habit he has, that he can only sleep with the fan on. A fan. You know a fan? I said, what fan? It was actually this Friday night that he came to his bedroom and he saw that the timer's on for the fan. Every single day of the year he has a fan. It's like, unbelievable. It's the coldest day of the year on Shabbos. He's got a fan on. Okay, that's one of his mishigas. And he needs a fan. Either it's because of the sound or that everything. He needs the air for years already. And then that his machine was going on, it goes on about 11 o'clock. He goes upstairs early enough in the Friday night and he sees, hang on a second, looking at his fan and it's on zero. He wants to push it to number one, nothing's going to go on now. But when it comes to 11 o'clock, it's going to turn on. What would he say to that, Shaila? Again, he's doing nothing now and in 11 o'clock it's now going to turn on. That again is the same Shaila, is Groma. We have to get realized, Groma is also, you can't do Groma on Shabbos. But it's mutter b'mokim hefset or tzorich gadol, a real tzorich. So he told me that this is called a proper parah tzorich. He talked into it, that he talked himself into it, that's a real tzorich. He's never fallen asleep without a fan. And he goes on holiday. Anyway, he goes with a fan. Yeah, so it could be the coldest day of the year. So there, it could be that you've got a shayla, it could be that you've got the heter of groma. If you can't get a goy, you can't get anyone else, then that would be a way forward, the chod, to plug it. Can you imagine? Groma, you're taking a plug. On Shabbos, it feels really, really wrong. But the fact is, you're doing groma. Groma is mutter mokum hefset. It's the Ramon, so Shin Lamad Vav. Okay, that's going to get to pulling in and pulling out of the plug, where later on it's going to have an effect, is only mutter mokum hefset or tzorich, a real tzorich gadol. Once again, I think it's a quite clear disclaimer not to touch all these things. Bechlal boina, like the chaznish was cheshav boina, the mish was cheshav for the chol. It's not an ideal situation. Lots of these shailas come up when you have a real tzorich. I remember when it was absolutely boiling. And the air conditioning, someone has switched off, had timed the air conditioning to go off at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was shmoiling hot till who knows when, till 8 o'clock, Shavuos. And he went to a local Rav, and his Rav said that he can start adjusting it. But in a normal situation, it's best to keep far away. I think it's just worth just discussing what a person's doing. Next Shaila, what would you say to this Shaila is a person has got his heating system on Shabbos, and I don't know, some people, I don't know if you noticed, that for some people, if they leave their temperature, thermometer on 21, like regular during the week, when it comes to Friday night, sometimes the machine doesn't chop it because of the cooking that goes on Friday, so it heats up the whole kitchen. So the machine thinks, if the machine is in the kitchen, the machine thinks, it's already 21 degrees, so it's not working, and Friday night you're freezing cold. So what a lot of people know to do if their thermometers are in the kitchen, they turn it up to 22 to get the machine running. Okay, let's say Friday night the machine is not running, because it's not chapping, it's not yet there, right? Let's say it's over the temperature, it's already reached its goal, yeah, 21.5 is already there. What you want to do is you want to open the window near the thermometer so that it should get the machine running. The temperature should go lower and the machine will tell the system to start running, and then in a few minutes later you got the whole house hot. Right? Is the Zazach Mutter on Shabbos? Oh, so now, that's the question. Let's start earlier. A person's got his thermometer in the hallway and he wants to open the door, freezing cold like last Friday night, absolutely freezing. You open the door for 1 minute, you've already heated the whole Salford, your whole house is cold. And now, if you want to go outside, what's the heter to go outside? You're gonna set the machine to go on. The terrace is because there you're not mechaven for it, right? So you're doing a psikresha. You're going out to go to shachris, and then the psikresha, the air comes in, and it's a groma as well. It takes a minute for it to chap. But so that's why meikadin is mutter. There is a maila to not to install the thermometer right by the door. In fact, where I live, the previous owner told me that they had the Mechasitzchok himself once came to the house, and he noticed that the machine was there, and he either before he had put it there or they were discussing the shayla, and he said that he recommended putting it behind the door where opening the front was not going to have an effect. I've still kept the machine there to know that this came from the Eitzah from the Mechasitzchok. Okay, so there's zecha maila to avoid it, lachatchila. Again, on a regular basis, if we want to avoid all these shailas. But me'ikadin is certainly mutter to open the front door, even though it's going to set the machine on. My question, which is much more of a sensitive, direct, clear question, is that if you want the machine to go on, you want to open the door or the window, let's say your machine is by the window, and by opening the window, 2 minutes later, the whole system is going to start going. Right? What would you say to that when you're intentionally, you have kavana that you want the machine to go on? is that surely that's worse? What would you say to that?
No, I thought you can't.
You would have thought you can't, right? And the Maisa, Yitaka can't. However, however, if it's a real tzorech, similar to Mokum Hefzad, where it's a real tzorech gadol, where it's taka freezing, I know some people that if they don't turn it up, then the machine just doesn't go because it thinks it's hotter than it is, and it's freezing the whole Shabbos. Okay, so, and if there's children there and it's not b'shmak the whole Shabbos, then groma could be muta b'mokum hefsed. We know the Rimal is matik groma by hefsed. Some poskim say huadin if it's a real tzorach. So if it's a real big tzorach, again it's not a regular case, because a regular case would taka biasa. You would have to get a goy first. But if a person's in lockdown and there's a children around which are cold, then really strictly speaking, there would be. Yeah, so what does young children allow you to do? Rabbi Victor mentioning that in Shulchan Aruch, in Reisha Involv, the last sif there, Shulchan Aruch tells you that if you have young children around, then you can tell a goy to do malacha d'oraisa, because HaKol Chonim Eitzaltzina, that's taka true. But no one ever told you that I can do malacha. Here we're talking about Yisrael opening a window to set the machine, to set the machine to realize it's freezing and get the machine on. And that is quite dodgy. You're mechava for it. So you're doing a proper issa. However, you're doing groma because it takes a few minutes for it to chap. It takes about, I think, about 2 minutes to chap. Okay, but so you mean you've got a chayla makam hefsed as mutter. So now, where do you take it to our case? The chayla you can say if it's a tzur of God, that you got children around, that would be similar to say it's okay. That would be okay. Can you ask a goy? Can you ask your kid to go outside? Yeah. I guess. I mean, are you gaining anything? Not really gaining much, because if you're mechaber for that, you're mechaber for that. So you're sending. Yeah. It's not clear, because once you send a child to do it, then it's the same. If he's doing it for you, it's the same. The Ramban, the famous Ramban, that holds that asking a child to do an issa is worse than asking a goy. Why? Asking a goy to do an issa on Shabbos is only issa derabbanan. Asking a child to do an issa, ishtei ato or vinucho vitecho. Ishtei in Torah that you have to keep it, and you have to make sure your son keeps it, and you have to make sure Torah doesn't say you have to make sure the goy keeps Shabbos. Yeah, it's a derabbanan. So where it's osa, there's taka a massive problem to ask a child. But so that's pushing it a bit more further. See, Dov's got a similar shayla. Instead of opening the window, what you would want to do, you've got a portable Honeywell thermometer, and you want to put it to a window, you want to put it next to the window so it should chap. That, l'chori, should be a similar shayla, in which case, where it's a tzorech gadol, that could be okay. I mean, look, I must admit to this, that I told... If he's doing it for you, then even if it's very young, is the Issa Safinon, yeah? The Issa Safinon. I have to admit that when I told this to Rabbi Falk 2 or 3 years ago, he asked me what we're discussing that night. I told him we're discussing these halachas, that strictly speaking, if it's very, very, very cold in the house, and, all these cheshbonos, and he said, such a thing is so close to a deraisa. It's so hard to say over unless it's said very, very clearly. Yeah, meaning, there are cases where it's mutter. Can you imagine? Yeah, it's freezing cold the whole house. 2 minutes later, you got the whole house warm. How do you do that? Because you did a groma. You've got to be very careful that you're doing it all right. So when it comes to Maisa, it's worth discussing with someone because it's very close. I heard the pain in a false voice. I told him, he liked the cheshbon. He said, groma, there's a blah, blah, blah. All the cheshbon is fitted in. But he said it's so close to the Raisa, it's worth, when it comes to the Maisa, to check out the Maisa. Shkoch.
Sorry, Rabbi.
3 minutes, so take time. Yeah, it takes time for the chap.
It's supposed to be 3 days.
Yeah. Yom Tov. Sorry? Just be there? Yes. Just be there. Just be there. What do you think? So you'll find out.
You can't get anything else. A very good evening to you.
Last week we started speaking about psika, about prepaying. We said why it's usher. We didn't say so much why it's a mutter. This week we want to a little bit go back, expand a little bit more of the heterim, how it's going to be mutter to do prepayment, and then address a few points that came up after this year. We were speaking a few shayos came up after this year about psika, ribbis, and prepaying. So to just to recap a little bit, we said a story of the person who wants to import matzis over here in Manchester. He was ordering 1,000 kilo at 25 pounds a kilo. He wants to offer an early bird discount. Anyone who pays before whatever Zion Adar, whatever it is, gets
this
it.
Week actually.
Yes, gets it at 27 pounds a kilo instead of 32, and we said that would be us there because he's offering a discount for someone who prepays, who gives him a loan for a few weeks. Not only that, Chazal asked psika in general, even if you would not offer a cheaper rate, you could offer him the same price he's going to be charging when people who pay when they pick up. If he's going to take this payment now, it's also going to be aser psika, and the reason being. It's going to be Chazal Aser. This is called Psika. They were scared the price might go up a little bit, and he's going to say, you know, really, I advertised 32 pounds. Really, going to be charging 33. It's a bit, you know, a few costs that I didn't factor in, calculate, and whoever paid is already guaranteed to get his price, the old price. We're scared Shema Yisyaka, the price might go up. Therefore, Chazal Aser all Psika. This is the basic Issa Psika. Anytime someone pays up front, in order to receive a product or a service at a later point in time. So we started saying there's 3-4 heterim that Chazal were matir. We went through the first heter, which is yeshloi, where the seller has the product by him, and we said it has to be in the here and now. He really, really has it. It's a very big heter, probably the biggest of the heterim is the heter of yeshloi, that he has it. But it's probably the least used heter because it's the least common. It's not so common to have the product that you in your warehouse locally.
How can you change money, clothes, and things like that?
But how can you change all the money for testing?
Yeah, if you have to have the whole amount that you want to be placed. If you have it, then just keep it over now. No, this is a very good point you're bringing. Yeah, by sa'a b'sa'a, which is borrowing to borrow, meaning so I'm borrowing a few dollars and I'm going to repay you dollars, then just $1 is going to be enough. By psika, which is Mekach, which is a sale, you have to have the full amount. So say if you're going to want to be placing that you're going to give me $1,000 next week, the person who's selling has to have the full $1,000. So it's an important point, which is actually a Mechleikis, the Ramah maybe is Mekol Amas, so we are going to be Machmir, by Psika you have to have the full amount. That's why it's a very big heter. If you would have this heter, then you could do many, many things. You could even probably do, you know, early bird discounts at sometimes. But it's not very commonly used because if you have it, you know, then just give it. This is pretty much where you reached last week. There are a few more terim. A more useful heter is the heter of shayr. Anything that has a fixed price, as you said, the mushal we used was a bottle of Coke, which has a fixed price. Say Tesco sell it for a pound. A bottle of Coke is a pound. If it's a product that is readily, easily available at a set price, then it would be mutter to do psika. Again, not psika bazal, meaning I'm not going to offer you cheaper than a pound, because the price is a pound. The reason, the svara, the understanding behind this heter is very, very simple. If I can easily go now to a shop and buy this product for this price, for the money that I'm now giving you, there's no benefit in the fact that I'm lending you the money. So Chazal view, there is a loan taking place, there is a halvah taking place, but there's no ribbit, there's no benefit from this loan. There are a few interesting things that the person speak out, which is Bezmanis is going to be in a gear. There's Lamashal, let's take it over here in Manchester. There's different shops that sell the same product at different prices. Say a bottle of Coke in Asda might be a pound, although in Marks and Spencer it might be £1.20. It's the same product, it comes from the same place, it's a different price. This would not be a problem. You could choose any shop you want and be placing on their share. So usually, the cheapest price, the lowest price, is going to be the most useful share. So say the cheapest price in town as the selling of a pound, I'm allowed to give you a pound, and you will commit that you will give me back, or somewhere else, the cheaper price, whatever it is, and you will supply me this product in a specified amount of time. They do bring down, the reasoning behind this svara is that the malve, the one who's buying, is not benefiting anything. So we have to really make sure he's not going to benefit from this agreement that they are making. A few simple points that might come up. If he's going to buy himself now, so let's say if Friday's ordering a large amount, he's going to have to pay, you know, storage or insurance, all these things to insure the product that he's buying. This might pose a problem for our heter of shayr. Another very important thing to think about when it's lamaisa is places speak about perishable products. Say I'm making a family camp, the mosque, some holidays, and I want to order milk. So I go over to the milk supplier. I say, I want to be paisik with you now, milk. So I'm going to pay you now, you know, deliver it to my family camp every single morning, 20 bottles of milk or 100 bottles of milk, whatever. So it's true in theory I could go now and buy 100 bottles of milk, but I won't be able to hold it now for 2, 3, 5 weeks. It's gonna turn sour. So I have a major benefit in not buying it now and receiving it. So perishable product, the Peskim say, most Peskim are machmir, we cannot use this heter, and it's going to be also. Some want to say, you know, you can freeze the milk, it's not as good, but you could, you know, you can get by, you know, we can debate about that again. When it's going to be a ma'aseh, always want to consult a ma'ara, because these things change so quickly. It's just to bring out the awareness, if it's a perishable product, the psik will become much more difficult. The most used heter, which is, I'll say, the most useful heter, is the third heter of something that has no defined price. Something that has no shumay yadua, is you would allow to be paisik. And the reasoning for here is different than the first two. The reason over here, because it's not nikr. You don't see clearly if there is a cheaper price. The price can speak out a few examples for this heter. The most simple case would be a very unique product. Say if I order from a carpenter a bookcase. So it's a custom-made product, it's unique in the size, in the type of wood, the color, the door handles. It's very unclear what exactly this price is. So even if the carpenter knows, you know, usually he sells this bookcase for £1,000. He's allowed to say, you know, if you pay me now up front, I'm going to sell it to you for £800. Why? Because if I tell you I bought this bookcase for £800, you know, sounds fair, it makes sense. So as long as you're not making it too cheap, you know, if you're saying, I pay for this book at £300, you know, everyone's going to realize there's a reason why you got it for a very cheap price. As long as that makes sense, the price that you paid, this is what the going rate is. So even though it's a little bit cheaper than what he usually would have sold it, then it's not nicker that you're getting a better price for prepaying, there wouldn't be any issue as well. Or it could be unique, not because it's a unique item, but it's a very standard item, say, A can of Coke, but I'm making a huge order. I want 20,000 cans. So everyone knows a can of Coke can be bought in the shop for 50p or whatever. But because no one knows how much, what price you get, you're buying 50,000 cans. So if I tell you I got 50,000 cans for 25p a unit or 22, it makes sense. So it's a unique, it's not a unique product, but it's a unique order. So then again, anywhere where you don't clearly see the difference in price is going to be mutter. A different example, which is a little bit different to the first two, the place can call it para, a cow. A cow, everyone can see a cow, but we still don't know how much this cow is worth. Today's day and age, the most common example they give is a used car. So say I import, you know, used in the Japanese minivans or whatever. So I don't have them over here. They don't belong to me. There's no clear price. So why is it mutter for me to take money up front and say, I'm going to sell you car number, and I can even give you a certain serial number. I can show you pictures. This is the car that's going to be coming next week. It's now, you know, it's now on the way in transit. It's still going to be mutter. And even if I'm giving you a cheaper price, why? Because even if you have a seasoned car dealer who's going to be standing outside this car and looking at the car, he still won't know how much this car is really worth. So you know, there's many components that go into the price of a car, the mileage, the history, whatever. So because it's something that needs a shuma, you have to evaluate how much this car is worth. And if I tell you I paid for this £5,000, you know, it makes sense. So even though he knows if it would be here, sitting in his showroom, he would be able to fetch £8,000 for this car or whatever, he's allowed to give it for £5,000 because it could make sense that this is the price of this car. And then the fourth heter we touched upon a little bit is anyone who's going to agree to receive part payment or post-dated checks, even from just one of his clients, he is showing that the reason why he's giving this price is not because he received a loan. V'haraya, even the people who gave him post-dated checks, you can only cash in a month's time or whatever, are still getting the same price. So that would help him to be matir all his other clients who are paying him to receive a cheaper price. It won't be a issur psika because they're not receiving a cheaper price because of the money, of the loan that they lent him. Proof is, he offered it to all his clients, even the one who paid him later. One exception to this rule would be a very expensive item. The mashal that the place can bring down is someone's buying a house on Alaniyar, what they call in Israel, you know, a pre-sale. house. So if you're driving down the road, you see, you know, phase one for sale now. So all these people who are selling, you know, pre-sale houses, they're always desperate for cash. They work with huge numbers, with huge volume. They always need money. So even though they might put up a sign, you know, this house selling now for 2999, whatever, £300,000. And had it been built, it would have been sold for a higher price, like $350,000. The reason why they are being moisel, they're selling it cheaper, because they need cash flow now. So even though you only pay 10% now when you sign up, or 20 or whatever, every month a little bit of payment, the only reason why they're giving you a discount, because they need cash flow now. They cannot wait 2 years till they finish building, you know, 25 houses and then start selling it. It is very clear the reason why you're getting a discount, because you are lending them money now. So if it would be a very expensive product and they only want 10-20% now, and the rest, you know, when the house is ready, it's still going to be also. It's a point that should be thought about. The only reason why they're getting a cheaper price is because of the halvah, that, or the money, that they don't call it halvah, they call it a sale. But effectively, Chazal say this is called halvah because the house is not ready. They're not giving you yet the house.
What's the heter? What is the heter to do
that? That would be very helpful if you had to ask. There may be ways to get around it. You know, they could be makne you the land, and you know, you're only buying whatever it's worth now. The easiest way for these kind of things to get heter iska, anyways, there's so many contracts you sign when you buy them with houses, just stick in a standard heter iska, it should be okay. Now, another heter is called schirs. If someone is not receiving a product in return, so say it's not a can of Coke or a bottle of milk that he's going to be receiving in a month's time, rather it's just the usage of an item. So whether it's usage of a house, or of a service, or any of those, and I'll explain, is going to be mutter. So family camps, they often say, you know, if anyone who pays before gets it for a cheaper price. And the reason is very, very clear, because they have to pay their suppliers for the rental to secure the ground. They, again, cash flow. But it's still going to be mutter, because you're not buying anything. You're not getting anything that you walk home with. You know, you're not going to take home the mattress when you finish. It's just the right to use a premises. Or similar to this, if someone's going to do a job for you, someone's going to paint your house. So you say, summer holiday, I'm going away with all my children. I want you to come in and paint my house. I can pay you now, a month before some holidays, and maybe even a cheaper price, because you're not giving me anything. Let's leave out, you know, the paint and whatever he's going to be leaving you at. The main reason why you're paying him is not for the paint that he's buying for you. The bulk of the payment is going for the service he's going to paint your house. So if, as long as you sign a contract with him, a binding contract that you cannot back out, it would be mutter to be maizu. The svara is a bit complicated, but what the svara that the Paiskim say is, because whatever you're going to be receiving then, meaning the service that he's offering you, is really already here now. It's just he hasn't yet done it for you. But you're in contract, he's meshubit, he's mechuyev to come in a month's time, paint your house. So it's already here now, so therefore the chayv is already here. We don't view it that you're lending him money. Rather, you already owe him the money. But anywhere where it's going to be a schiras, Pesach hotels, family camps, services, all these things, they wouldn't be a problem of psika.
Even a concert ticket or something like that, you get a cheaper price if you pay it now. What are you getting in return?
Yes, so that would be a very, very good, a very good, a very good, very good example. A different example where they bring is somebody who pays every single month mikvah. So if you pay every single day, it costs you £2 to go in. If you pay at the beginning of the month, it costs you £1 to go in. Now, it would have been also. Most people are paying a monthly, you know, mikveh thing, because they go every single day, and it works out cheaper for them. It's mutter because they're not giving anything. You're not allowed to take home towels from the mikveh. It's just the right to use the water, right to use the towels or whatever. So you're not buying anything. It'll be called schiras karka. There's no problem to get a cheaper price. This is the basics of psika. I do want to address two points that were brought up. I'm not sure myself. You know, I'm happy to hear the svaras, because the Paiskim themselves, is a bit of a confusion amongst the Paiskim how to address this point. Some say mutter, some say aser. I'll just present the svaras over here, and I'm happy to hear, you know, what the islands say. The first point is regarding to newspapers. That's what you mentioned last week. Magazines, people who subscribe for all these things, they pay up front beginning of the year, and they tend to get a cheaper price. So let's take, for example, I don't want to advertise any certain specific magazine over here, the Ami magazine. So if you look over there, it says, I'll tell you the reason why I'm using Ami magazine in a second, The Ami magazine says over there, if you buy in the newsstand in New York, in the tri-state area, you charge $7 every single issue. But if you pay an annual annual subscription, they charge you $300 for the year,
yeah.
And you get 52 issues, which works out to be $5.75, which is just under 20% discount on every single issue. So according to what we were speaking of here, it should have been usher, because they don't yet have next week's issue printed, or for sure not 6 months' time. I mean, I hope they don't have 6 months' time issues right now. There's no clear price, because you are getting it cheaper. You're not able to buy it now. So what's their head to do this kind of thing?
In the scripts, it's a bit different, maybe because it's a bit more interactive. If you go to buy a normal shop, they take 20%, they charge, they get 20% profit. You're buying it direct.
That would be a good point for the loiver there, why they're allowed to do it. Why is the person who's giving the money allowed to? He's doing it because, you know, he's anyways going to buy it every single week, so might as well, you know, get it for 20% discount. That wouldn't be enough to be matir in Gans, it would be enough to be matir for the loivet. The Paiskin do bring down a svara because...
How does Tesco actually get all the money for the matir?
Sorry?
If Tesco's got a Jewish supermarket, how does he get all the matir?
No, we're speaking about a Jewish, you know, Ambi magazine, or one of those that they are actually giving to you cheaper, and it would seem to be because they need cash flow, and that's why they're going to be Moisel. The Paiskin do say a svara. The reason why they give it cheaper, not because they need so much cash flow, rather they want to be secure. They want to be guaranteed. There are at least whatever 10,000 people who ordered, so they're going to print 20,000 copies. At least 50% is already sold before they print it. There's another svara that they say because it's a different product. It's like a different package. It's like buying one can of Coke versus a 24-pack. Obviously, you're going to get it cheaper. So if you're buying an annual subscription, you're just buying it's a different product.
Although it's not printed yet.
Yeah. But the reason why they're not being in Moisel, again, this is just as far as the place can speak out. Although many contemporary Paiskin, Rav Shlomo Zalman Ullman, a bunch of other things, they say if one signs up to one of these things, he should get a heter. Is a chumra de gipsak. I'm just bringing what the Paiskin say. It would probably boil down to which publication you use, which one you're signing up, because different ones offer a little bit different things. The reason why I use the Moshe of the Ami magazine, I actually called them up last night when I was preparing this year, and they told me by then you either pay $2.99 for the year or pay every single month $24.99, which is exactly the same price. So by them, definitely no problem, because they are not doing it because you're giving them in advance $300. Rather, they actually offer you to pay every single month, and once you're paying it just for 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah. So by them, they offer the option. They told me most people don't take the monthly payment; they just pay the year's paid. But as long as they offer the option, it's going to be mutter. Again, it would probably depend on the reasoning why one is going to be doing it. There is one other point that was brought up last week, is about airline tickets. So, you know, back in the day, say 10, 15 years ago, when airline tickets were still sold through travel agents, the prices were very interesting. They used to go up and down. Maybe some of them still. Sorry. Very often, you used to buy 2-3 days before the flight. It was cheaper than buying it a month before. We're not talking about that. Today, recently, there's much more transparency in airline tickets. And it's 99% of the time, nearly always, if you're buying it, the nearer you are to the flight, the more the price goes up. There's more seats sold, and the price is going to go up. If you're buying a ticket 6 months in advance, you're always going to get it cheaper than buying it a day before. Now, the reason why they are selling it cheaper, we have to find out what their pricing structure is based on. There are flights that they know they're guaranteed is going to sell out. Let's say there's one flight from Manchester to Tel Aviv and Erev Sukkot. They know 6 months in advance when they start selling tickets, this flight is going to be fully sold, fully booked, fully sold. Every single seat is going to be taken. Nevertheless, people who have booked this ticket 6 months in advance will obviously get a cheaper price than someone who comes the night before and say, I want to go tomorrow morning. So what's the heter? Or what's the reason why they are selling it cheaper up front? I would have thought, because again, the airline needs cash flow. So they sell tickets up to 6 months in advance to secure, you know, money a whole time coming into the company. Again, I don't want to go over time again. It's just things that I would just to bring out that would probably should have to be environment. The way they structure their prices even if it's not only for the halval, for the cash flow, but it's also at least it's a factor in their pricing that they have to borrow less from the bank or something. It might be kedai to, you know, to look into a heter iska. You know, I know it's not possible to make a heter iska with halal, but they probably have them in the ticket anyways. Just all these points that come up in the everyday life, awareness is always very, very important. Yeshe Koyach.
Very complicated.
I'm sorry about that.
I feel like next week?
No, I don't think so. I'm not.
Not a problem.